Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday, October the 19th, 2020. 10:19:20, 19 minutes past the hour, and away we go. Now, this hour is going to be like Travelogue with Charles Kuralt. So, by the way, break in at any point if you would like while I'm telling this story, because I would love to hear your thoughts or reminiscences of the things I'm about to mention. This is what I did last week, or weekend, a couple days ago, as it were. Now, I do want to mention again that we are having our candidates night here on Thursday, 7:10 until 9 p.m. right here on this station. Now, again, we're doing this because the League of Women Voters opted this year not to have their event because of the pandemic. And I think one of the reasons, I don't know, I really haven't spoken with them, was because one of the ways in which they took questions was having a live audience. Well, that's hard to do in the pandemic age, but we feel the event is still worth doing, so we're going to do our version here on WWGH Radio. We're going to have candidates for sheriff, clerk of courts, and the two county commissioner seats that are open. I believe 6 of the 8 candidates are confirmed for Thursday night, and maybe by the time we get to Thursday night, all 8 will be confirmed, but they will be here in studio. Now, here's how this will work different than it has in past years, because we're putting this on, not the League of Women Voters. When the League did it, the way they took questions was they did it through the telephone, and they did it from the people in the audience. Well, obviously, there is going to be no live audience in studio because of COVID, so that's gone. We won't have that option. But we still have the option of the phone. So people who are listening, people who want to submit questions can still do that, and they'll be able to do that starting at 7 p.m. on Thursday night. At 7 p.m., the phone lines will open up. It's a regular line here, 740-383-9944, and you can submit questions all the way through 9 o'clock, and we will ask those live on the air from the 7:10 until 9 p.m. broadcast, October 22nd. Now, to compensate for not having a live audience, another thing we're going to do this year, I am going to moderate the event. I will ask some questions of the candidates, and we're also going to have a representative from the Marion Star here who will also be asking questions of the candidates. That's not usually done, but since it's our version and we don't have a live audience, that's how it's going to happen on Thursday night. But of course, you'll still be able to listen to it on the radio as you always have. So that's Thursday night, 7:15 until 9 p.m., Candidates Night, here on WWGH Radio, October the 22nd. And again, that event is supported by Belly Buster's Pizza, and it was put together by Terry Tackett. So ask him all the questions you like in regard to that particular event. That was his baby, as they say. Now, again, buzz in anytime you like during the following story, 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944, and I'm going to tell you about the weekend that was. And this past weekend was kind of interesting. I guess it would be 2 weekends ago now, or a weekend ago, I don't know how you say that. The weekend before this past one, I went to Put-in Bay and got to tell you the stories about Put-in Bay. Well, this past weekend, I decided to explore the cities of, or towns, however you want to refer to them, of Upper Sandusky and Lima, which was really a lot of fun. Now, we started on Saturday in Upper Sandusky. And we started the trip by going to the famous Kaler Drugstore. And what is great about the Kaler Drugstore in Upper Sandusky is that it's a landmark. And for many of you who watched Dave Kaler on WBNS for many years, he was the anchor there, I think 20 years, something like that. His family owned that drugstore, his father, a matter of fact. And for years and years and years, his brother ran that drugstore. Now, both his father and his brother have went on to their reward since then, so I'm not even sure if the family still owns it. But we stopped by the Kaler drugstore, and it is as it's like time had stopped for the last 70 years, and it is still an old-fashioned drugstore. It reminds me a lot of Henny and Cooper when it was here in Marion. That's what it really puts me in the mind of. So if you're in Upper, stop by the Kaler drugstore. And it's got the neat signs that have been there for probably 70 years, and just a very, very, very cool place. Now, and still operational. You can still buy whatever you would like at the Kaler drugstore. Now, after the Kaler drugstore, we decide, well, actually, I do want to mention this. There's a little market right next to the Kaler drugstore. And I'm not even sure what the name of this market is, but there's a little market right there across the street, next door to it on the, if you're looking at the Kaler drugstore, it would be on the right. And there's a little market there that I ended up going into with the person I was with. And it's an old-fashioned market. It put me in the mind of the old Smith Cardinal here in Marion. It wasn't as big as Smith Cardinal was when it was here in Marion, but it had the old-fashioned carts and just a small grocery store that had a little bit of everything. And they sell Amish baked goods in there, so it's really a neat place. They have a meat counter in the back and all that sort of thing. So we walked into that old market, and I wish I could remember the name of it, but I can't. But it's right there next to Kaler Drugstore in Upper Sandusky. So you just got to walk across the street to get to it. You wouldn't miss it if you were in downtown Upper. Okay, we did those two events in Upper, and then we decided, well, let's head to Lima and get the Lima portion of this trip down, and then we'll come back to Upper and finish up the trip. Now, we went to Lima, which is about 50 minutes from Upper, so it doesn't take very long to get to Lima from Upper, which is why you can do these two cities in the same day. So, we took off to Lima. Now, here were our stops in the Lima area. We went to the Allen County Museum. Now, let me tell you why we went to the Allen County Museum. It turned into a much bigger thing than I had initially thought. But here is why we went to the Allen County Museum. Lima is a very interesting city from this perspective. They have an NBC television affiliate in Lima, NBC television station in Lima, and have for many, many years. WLIO are the call letters over there. And there was a woman on the air, WLIO television, for many years named Easter Straker, and a lot of famous people were on that television show. And Easter Straker... Now, remember, this is back when there were only three channels in every community. This is before cable television. So you could become an enormous star on local television, especially if you were on an NBC affiliate, because there wasn't anything else to watch in the 60s, 70s, and I believe Easter went off in the early 80s. But there was a... This is the goofiest thing in the world. There was a thing on Easter's show called the birthday chair. Now, this is how broadcasting works. You know, you do great interviews, and Easter had interviewed, the Three Stooges and Phyllis Diller and so many well-known people, and then you end up getting known for something like the birthday chair. Okay, well, here was what the birthday chair was. The birthday chair was a... I don't even know if you qualify it as a chair. What it was, I guess it was a chair, but it was all carpeted, and it had steps you would walk up, like four steps. It was made for kids, obviously. So four little steps you would walk up, and then you could sit in the birthday chair. And then on the back of the birthday chair, where like the back of a chair would be, there was a big, colorful hippopotamus. Because again, it was for kids. And the idea behind the birthday chair was, when it was your birthday, you could write Easter Straker, and you could go down to WLIO Television, the NBC affiliate in Lima, and you could sit in this birthday chair on your birthday and get your picture taken with Easter in the chair and so on and so forth. And the idea behind it was there was a big jar of pennies, and you could reach into the big jar of pennies and get a handful, and I guess that was your birthday gift from WLIO and Easter. Now, that's how the birthday chair worked for many years. Well, when Easter's TV show went off the air in the early 80s, the Allen County Museum, again, this is how broadcasting works. They don't want copies of your interviews or anything. What they really want is they want the chair. So they wanted this chair that was over at WLIO Television. So the Allen County Museum has had the birthday chair ever since Easter went off the air in the early 80s. And it's a goofy looking thing. And I had seen it once before. I had been over I'd been to the Allen County Museum probably in the early 2000s. So it'd probably been close to 20 years since I had been there. So I was telling the person I was with about this birthday chair. And they said, well, I got to see it. And I said, okay, well, it's in the Allen County Museum. We can swing by there while we're over in Lima and just take a picture with it or whatever. Now, we go in, and I say to the docent there at the Allen County Museum, I say, we're here to see the birthday chair. And they say, okay, it's back there. It's back in the Mount Vernon room, is what they said. They knew exactly what I was talking about. So I go back to the Mount Vernon room, and there's no birthday chair. Because it's hard to miss a big hippopotamus. And I thought, okay, well, that's strange. I don't see it here. And I'd seen it before, like I said, in the early 2000s. So I went over to the desk, back close to the Mount Vernon room, and I said, where's the birthday chair? And they said, oh, we had to put that in storage because of COVID. Now, I'm thinking, why would you have to do that? That's very strange. So I said, well, why? Why would you have to put the birthday chair in storage because of COVID? And the woman said, well, there's some kind of a carpet or vinyl on the chair, and we didn't want COVID to get on it. Now, I'm not criticizing the Allen County Museum. And maybe this is just because we went in there primarily for the birthday chair and it was not there. But here's what I don't understand. To my knowledge, and I'm no doctor, but I don't think COVID can live on a chair. I don't know. Maybe they can. I don't know. I don't know if the facts have come back from this. But let's say it can. Okay, let's say COVID can live on a chair. Okay. This chair is in a museum. It's roped off. It's an exhibit. It's been an exhibit for 30 years now. You don't sit in the chair. How would you even touch the chair to get COVID? I really did not understand it. And then the second follow-up to this is that there are chairs with vinyl all around them all around the Allen County Museum. There are chairs everywhere that have vinyl and cushion that are not exhibits. They're just chairs you sit in. So if you could get COVID from a chair that you can actually sit in, which you can't sit in the birthday chair because it's an exhibit, why don't they have all the chairs taken away? That's all I'm saying. I'm not criticizing the museum because I found some other cool stuff in there, but I thought that was odd. Go ahead, caller. Caller, call back. We had a caller on the line there. Give me a call back. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning. Am I speaking with the slightly famous and always interesting and jovial T-I-double-T, quadruple S?
Well, I don't know if it's slightly famous. It's getting bigger by the day.
Yeah. Just really quickly, Mr. Important Person, much more importanter than myself, the world's gone crazy. I don't want to go into a big tirade because you know how I feel. Yeah, I mean, I believe the virus is everywhere. It's in the air. I'm sure I've been exposed more times than I can count. But I have an immune system. You know, I'm a gym rat and everything else related to good health. I'll just take my chances and also build up my own natural immunity. But roping off a chair, that's ridiculous. The world's gone crazy. Why do you think people think this is a conspiracy?
Well,
there's no consistency at all. I've never seen more junk science in my life, and I've seen a lot of science.
Well, like I said, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that it's a historical item. It's over probably 60 years old now. And I get that they probably, I think the thinking was probably this, to give them the benefit of the judgment, that there was vinyl on it and that they don't want to clean it with chemicals because it's so old. And
well,
I think
we have that chair from the 1800s, right, from the original CBS studio in New York City, whatever.
Probably would
nobody
be.
Nobody's allowed to look at that chair. Even I'm not allowed to touch it. I don't want to have the boogeyman come out and arrest me if I touch that important chair. I agree with that rule. That chair should not be touched. It's exclusively an exhibit.
Right, but what I didn't understand about, and I think that was their thinking. They didn't want to have to, they didn't want to have to Clorox or chemical up the chair because it might discolor it or so on. And so I get that. But what I don't, it's an exhibit. You can't touch it. And you certainly can't sit in it. So I'm not even sure why you would have to clean it.
Whatever the precautions would have been before. Kind of reminds me of, Scott, I guess musical chairs is not a game people are going to play at birthday parties anymore, right? That's probably an extinct activity. Do you think so?
The thing about it is, you know, I got, like I said, the thinking is what it was because we all still sit in chairs, and I think they thought this was a historical item, and they don't want to ruin it. Okay, I get that. But again, it's an exhibit. I don't understand why, is it going to cough? So what I ended up saying, I mean, I'm not angry. It'll be back out one day. It's not like I'll never see it. And I have seen it before. But, you know, my thinking on the whole thing at this point is, just for the people who want to go see the Easter Stryker birthday chair, it's quarantined until further notice. The chair is under quarantine.
Isn't the chair in our studio actually more valuable or more interesting? That's like an original chair from the first show ever broadcast on TV, right? It's worth like thousands and thousands of dollars.
Well, probably, sure.
Yeah, I mean, that and the famous restroom key, I think, are the most important things in our famous downtown Marion digs.
Well, that's true. Well, there are some historic pictures on the wall that nobody else has.
Yeah, you and your photo with B. Arthur and just about everybody. I got me photographed with some baseball players and, of course, the late Dick Gregory and a few others, but you've certainly outdone most people in that respect, Scott.
Well, it's
but
just...
You talk about Joe Jorgensen also last hour. I mean, I know I called about this last week. It seems like every election, nobody likes the candidates, myself included, and I don't like any of them. The one in particular I'm extremely repulsed by. The other three I can find some value in, but I can't say I'm necessarily ready to join their fan club. And Jorgensen does seem like a good candidate, but you vote for an alternative. You're essentially voting for the incumbent. So I don't know a lot about her, but what I've seen, I do like. And I like having a woman president. I think it's time. But I just don't see there's a reason to vote for her. But I admire that she's putting through the effort because I think she is a good person.
Oh, yeah, I think it's fine for her to run. I just think the people who are voting for her know nothing about her. And if she actually won, I don't think they would want her to win, really.
Yeah, well, people are saying the other four are so bad, and, you know, I would agree. You know, Donald Duck would be a better candidate. Just people that were saying that, and I would say myself probably included, and I don't know a lot about her, but what I'm seeing I like. The general philosophy of her movement is consistent with mine. I'm not going to agree with everything, but if I could just magically have her become president, I probably would do that, but it's just not going to happen. Perot, in a lifetime, will probably be the most viable independent candidate ever, because he was pretty mainstream. I mean, again, like Trump, businessman, running the country like a CEO, but he just is a better person. He was just more likable as a man. Just felt like one of us. Anyway, our boy wasn't very well spoken. I would say between the two of them, Trump is probably actually easier to listen to, but Perot just seems so much like a regular guy and someone who is self-made that he was appealing. I said, in retrospect, I should have voted for him, but I did consider voting for him. I had friends and family who did. But with Jorgensen, yeah. Every time, Scott, we break the record as to the worst possible candidates, and arguably in my lifetime, this probably is the worst choice. And, you know, yeah, Pelosi becoming VP, yeah, she's 80 years old. I mean, she seems younger. I mean, certainly she's alert, and I don't think she's lost anything in the mind department, but she's a divisive figure and becoming more so. And I'm not sure about a female president and vice president. So I have no problem with that. I have the problem with the two potential people, but no problem with the idea, but I'm not sure the country is ready. But we shall see, Scott. It's going to be an interesting 3 weeks, that's for sure.
We shall see.
All talk stations will be very busy, hey, ourselves included.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Adam.
Have a great day, Scott, and stay dry.
Bye-bye. All right, and don't forget Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam follows this show today from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Voice of the People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Mike Wilson Show, 5:10 to 6 p.m. today. And by the way, you can chime in on any of this, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, well, that's all I'm going to say about the birthday chair. Okay, but I'm in the Allen County Museum, and across from where the birthday chair would be is an old WLIO camera. Now, this television camera, it's a real camera, but it probably was from, had to be, 50s, 60s. And it's a great camera. Got a picture of it. If you look at the camera, it shows, you know, what you would see. Big old cameras. And it reminds you what television studios used to look like with these guys who were cameramen trying to move these gigantic cameras around. But that was the early days of television. That's the way it went. So saw the old WLIO camera. And then as I'm walking around the Allen County Museum, and there's a lot to see in there, hanging on the wall, because Lima is the hometown to a lot of famous people, and one of those people is the legendary Phyllis Diller, who, of course, I interviewed 30-plus times. Her interviews still air on this station. Well, there's Phyllis Diller's picture up on the wall in the Allen County Museum. And I took a picture with the picture. Anytime Phyllis Diller is anywhere, I take a picture with it. And somebody mentioned, well, why didn't you take a... Was Hugh Downs in there? Because Hugh Downs was also from Lima. And Hugh Downs was a good friend of this program for many, many years. And his picture was there, but it was way up on the wall so high, there's no way you could take a picture with it. So got those pictures done. And that was all at the Allen County Museum. So then we left the Allen County Museum, and we actually went over to WLIO. And WLIO is an interesting station. It still is an NBC affiliate over in Lima. But it takes you back to the days of 50s and 60s television, because WLIO television is in what used to be a house. Now, it's weird because it's in a neighborhood. You drive up on it, and there are like 6 or 8 satellite dishes and a huge tower in the yard of this house. And a big parking lot on one side of the house. And then, of course, it says WLIO with the NBC peacock on the front of the house. But it is a house and was once a house. So WLIO television, it just shows you how rudimentary television was and can be. And certainly radio was and can be. So went over to WLIO television, which is still there in Lima. Then you get hungry at that point. And when you're in Lima, there's only one place to go to eat. As far as I'm concerned, it's the legendary Kewpie's. K-E-W-P-E-E, and Kewpie stands for Kewpie doll. And of course, they are known for their hamburgers and french fries and strawberry milkshakes is what they're known for. So I did not have a strawberry milkshake this past week, but I did have a hamburger. I did have fries over at Cupie's. And the person I was with had never been to Cupie's. So that was a lot of fun to take them into Cupie's. Although, they got a large pop, and they kept spilling it. I've never seen somebody so awkward with a large soda. Well, we had to eat in the car because the Cupie's dining room is closed right now. You can go in and order, so you can still see the Cupie's diner, but you can't eat in there. So we had to eat in the car, and this soda got knocked over at least three times. I think there was more soda probably on the ground than in the belly of the person who was drinking the soda. But interestingly enough, there are three Cupie's in Lima. Now, the original, which is the one you want to go to, is downtown, and it's right across from where the new convention center and theater are. So if you find that, you'll find Cupie's in downtown. But there are two other locations in Lima. There are three altogether, and we saw another one, which looks like it's in a converted Pizza Hut. So there's that. Then we did a little shopping in Lima before we left, and this is going to sound as strange as could be, but I'm a fan of bow ties. Now, I am not a fan of bow ties that you have to tie, because I can't tie a bow tie, but if it's a bow tie that clips, if it's a clip bow tie, clip-on bow tie, and I'm not talking about the clip-ons that you clip on to the front of your collar, because those fall right off. But if it's got the band that goes around your neck, and then it just clips in the back, which is how most bow ties are now, I like those. Because I have found that wearing a bow tie, if you're doing something on television and in front of a group, is probably your best bet than wearing a big long tie. They just kind of blend in with everything else. So if I see bow ties, which are becoming rare like that, I tend to buy them. And we went into this store that had novelty bow ties, which is something you never see. And by novelty, I mean one was a Halloween bow tie. It had pumpkins on it. The other was a camouflage bow tie, which I thought was unique. And then there was one that I think was probably for the election. It was a red, white, and blue bow tie. So I ended up buying all three of them. They were very affordable. I bought the bow ties, and I have them now. And maybe on Candidates Night on Thursday, I'll wear the red, white, and blue bow tie. So I did that while we were in Lima shopping on Saturday. Oh, and by the way, I didn't eat there, but I did learn this. Do any of you remember Mark Pies, which used to be here in Marion, Mark Pies Restaurant? A lot of people love that. It's over in Lima now, and open and operational, and the person I was with told me that the Mark Pie family that owned Mark Pies when it was in Marion is the Mark Pie family that runs the Mark Pies in Lima. So if you want to go to Mark Pies, it's over in Lima. Don't call it Lima, Ohio. By the way, if you're using a GPS and you type in Lima, it will call it Lima. The woman on the GPS calls it Lima, Ohio. And just remember, the joke always is, you never ate Lima beans, did you? So it's Lima, L-I-M-A. So that was the extent of our trip to Lima. Then we headed back to Upper Sandusky, which again is about a 50-minute trip. So we got back to Upper Sandusky, and this became the historical part of the journey in Upper Sandusky. The first place we went was a place called the... Well, we'll come back to this momentarily. Go ahead, caller.
Sorry there, quadruple S. I had another point to chime in for you. The Lima is kind of funny because one of my gyms, they had these ads on the TV screens, and there was some ad for a hotel, and the lady goes, in downtown Lima... So she obviously is not from the area because everybody knows it's Lima. Just like, you know, remember, it's Lodi, too, you know, up by Cleveland where the outlet mall is. I thought it was Lodi, but they pronounce it Lodi, so that must be an Ohio trait in pronouncing.
Well, we also have Bucky Russ, Bucyrus.
Yeah, we know it's Bucyrus, but that is kind of an unusual name, kind of a take on buckeyes. But figure Lodi, Lima, because Lima's in Peru.
Yeah, but I don't get Lima at all, because Lima beans are spelled like that, and I would say Lima beans are probably more famous than Lima, Peru, in America. So why anybody would call it Lima and not Lima?
Well, I used to live up where I worked in broadcasting in northern New York. This is interesting. We had several towns that were the same as European cities. One was Madrid. It was spelled like Madrid, but it was pronounced Madrid. And then, well, I worked in radio in Gouverneur, New York, was named after Gouverneur Morris, a historical figure. And it wasn't pronounced Gouverneur or Governor. It was kind of a change, and it was the area is near Quebec, so there's a French influence. So it would be pronounced Gouverneur. And so you'd always know if somebody was from the area by the way it was pronounced. So that's just an interesting trait, and you know me with my interest in English and in geography. It is right up my alley.
I understand. Well, hey, thanks, Adam.
No problem, Scott. Have a nice day.
Always remember, Lima, not Lima. See, I just about did it. But your GPS, next time you're going to Lima, even if you know how to get there, type it in and see if your GPS calls it Lima, not Lima. So at that point, we left Lima, and we headed back to Upper Sandusky, as I say, for the historical part. Now, it's getting dark at this point because it gets dark at 7 o'clock now. So we're back in Upper Sandusky, and we head out to the Parker Bridge. Now, the interesting thing about the Parker Bridge in Upper Sandusky, it's a covered bridge, long bridge, and long for a covered bridge. And this bridge was constructed in 1873. So we are talking 100 and almost 150 years old at this particular point. It's a very interesting bridge, and it's very interesting to be out there in the middle of the night. There's not much more to say about it than that, but if you're in Upper Sandusky, GPS it and go out and visit the Parker Bridge. Now, if you like covered bridges and that sort of thing. Now, again, it's dark at this point. It's probably about 8 o'clock on Saturday night. And out to get to the Parker Bridge, basically you've got to go out of town in Upper, and the roads are, at this point of the year, just filled with corn. That's all that's out there. Corn, corn, corn in the occasional house every so often. Well, I'm out there, and we're driving out there to see the Parker Bridge, and it's dark. And as we're driving back to the city of Upper to finish up this trip, I noticed that there are these two lights, and that's all you can see at night, these two little lights out in the middle of this cornfield. And I'm thinking, what in the world is that? So there was no traffic out there, so we pulled off on the side of the road, and here in the middle of this cornfield, and don't ask me where it is, maybe you can Google it and find it. Out in the middle of this cornfield in Upper Sandusky, it's a tombstone, and it's a rather large tombstone. There's nothing, no other tombstones around it. There are no cemeteries around it, just all cornfields. And what it is, it's a big tombstone. It has two little lights in front of it, which are probably, I don't know who put them there. And then there are two American flags stuck in the ground. Now, it's the grave, if you get out and read it, which is what I did, of a Chief Tahar, a Native American Chief Tahar. Now, I don't know who Chief Tahar was, and I don't know why he's buried there, and I don't know who paid to put the tombstone up, but it was unique for where it was, and I'm sure this Tahar must be a big deal. If you want to look him up, by the way, it's T-A-H-R-E, Tahar. I don't really understand, number one, do we call those indigenous people now? Or can we still call them Native Americans? The tombstone says Native American. So I'm going to go with Native American. But the indigenous people thing did cross my mind. But the other thing is, I understand the tombstone. I understand the lights to light up the tombstone. I get that in the middle of this cornfield. But I don't understand the American flags. I really don't understand that. Let's go to the phone call. Go ahead, caller. Are you there, caller?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
That's pronounced Tar-hee. The Boy Scouts had a... it was part of their ritual. And it's not Tahar, it's Tar-hee, Chief Tar-hee. And there was quite a big thing about him.
So T-A-H-R-E is Tar-hee?
Tar-hee.
Tar-hee.
Yes. Yes, he was part of the ritual that the Boy Scouts used with their one of their branches. I forget just which one.
So that would probably explain, because I didn't understand the American flags, because I thought if you were a Native American, you're probably not a fan of the American flag. But it's probably there because of the Boy Scouts.
I'm sure. I'm sure, because he was very much a part of their, when they, I know my son had a headdress, and they had the whole nine yards in their special group that had to do with Native Americans.
Well, that's interesting, but you don't know the connection that he, is he, what his...
I can't remember.
But she,
I'll have to ask my son.
Yeah, if you find out, let me know, because it's out there in the middle of this cornfield.
Yeah, I remember it. I remember it.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you for the information.
You're welcome. Have a blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye. And again, anybody can chime in at any point, 740-383-9944. Tar-hee, then, not Tahar. But I couldn't understand the American flags, but see, there you go. Question asked, question answered. There's something apparently to do with the Boy Scouts and this chief. But it is out there in the middle of a cornfield. Let's see here. Okay, so we did that. Then, and I don't know if anybody knows this, because there are a lot of practicing Methodists all over Ohio. A lot of Methodist churches. But the first Methodist church in Northern America, not in Ohio, in North America, is still standing in Upper Sandusky. And it's in the old Mission Cemetery, which is kind of in town. I mean, it's not out in the woods like the bridge and the chief's grave. The old Mission, maybe it's called the Old Mission Church, I don't remember. But it is the first, and it says on the building, there are placards. It's from early 1800s. It's the first Methodist church in Northern America, and it's over in Upper Sandusky. And it's in the cemetery. Now, I'm guessing the church came first, then came the cemetery. But the interesting thing is that the church is surrounded by graves, not new graves, because it's in the big cemetery over in Upper. But the church itself is surrounded by old, old, old graves of Methodist Indians or Methodist Native Americans, however they were referred to at the time, who helped put that church together. And I believe the founder of this is Stewart. Now, I don't know what Stewart, I want to say his name was John Stewart. His grave is there in the backyard of the church. There's a fenced-in area in the backyard of this old church that has, he's in it, and then there's a bunch of the Native American Methodists who helped build this church in that cemetery. And I don't know what his significance is to the Methodist churches, but I'm sure that somebody does know. But the first Methodist church in North America is still standing. It's been there since 18-whatever, and it's over in Upper Sandusky, Ohio, in the old Mission Cemetery, and that was quite an interesting thing to see as well, especially at night, which is where, when we were in there. Okay, so that was something I wanted to mention. Now, last week was the anniversary of the movie The Shawshank Redemption. Now, I've never seen the movie. I hate to say, I've never seen the movie The Shawshank Redemption. But there are two main shooting, there are a lot of shooting sites in Ohio, but the two main are the Ohio Reformatory in Mansfield, the old Ohio Reformatory. That's one of the big shooting spots that everybody goes and visits with in concern to the Shawshank Redemption. But the courthouse in Upper Sandusky was also used in the Shawshank Redemption for the courthouse scene. And there's an historical marker out in front of the courthouse saying this was used in the movie The Shawshank Redemption. And so we went there to the courthouse in Upper Sandusky to kind of commemorate the movie. And we went there at night for a purpose. Now, if you're going to go to that courthouse during the day, that's fine. But if you go to the Upper Sandusky courthouse at night, the clock is all lit up. Lady Justice on top of the courthouse is all lit up. It really is a courthouse to behold. And I'm told that a copy of the movie of The Shawshank Redemption is up in Lady Justice in the Upper Sandusky courthouse. So got some pictures over there in front of the Upper Sandusky courthouse, which is right downtown, not too far from Kaler's Drugstore, which we were talking about earlier. It's all kind of centralized in that particular location. So you can go to the First Methodist Church, you can go to the Kaler Drugstore, you can go to the Upper Sandusky Courthouse, and it's probably all within a mile of each other, circumference-wise. But if you want to go see Chief Tarhi, or you want to go see the Parker Bridge, which has been there, Parker Covered Bridge, which has been there since 1873. You got to go out on the outskirts a little bit, probably about 8 minutes outside of town. It's not too far away. So that was my trip to Upper and my trip to Lima this past weekend. Now I've got a story to tell you about Lima. Okay, so I'm over in the Allen County Museum, and the woman who I asked about the birthday chair was a very nice woman, but kind of an older lady who was having some trouble walking. Not that she didn't have a cane or anything like that. She's just a little slower walker than you might typically expect. Okay, when you go into the Allen County Museum, there are two glass doors that you have to go through. You go through the first glass door, and you're in a little lobby area, and then you go through the second glass door, and you're in the Allen County Museum. Well, as I'm leaving the Allen County Museum on Saturday with the person that I am with, this person who does not walk very well, who had been running the information desk in the back, was behind me, probably maybe 10 feet behind me, something like that. I could see her, but she was a good distance behind me and not walking very fast. So I went through the first set of glass doors, and I let the door shut behind me. Now, it didn't shut in her face or anything like that. She was still standing back a distance, but the door shut, and then I went through the second glass door, which takes you outside, and I decided I'm going to wait and help this woman. So the woman comes through the first glass door now, and I'm holding the second glass door open. And she sees me there holding the door open for her, and she says, "Oh, sir, I just want to thank you so much for holding that door. You know, I don't move too well anymore, and I don't move too quick, and you would be surprised how many people just shut the door in my face and don't pay attention to what I'm doing, and I cannot thank you enough for holding this door open for me. Now, I know you let the first door shut without helping me through it, but I can't thank you enough for holding the second door open. I know you let that first door shut in my face, but the second door, it's so kind of you to hold open." Now, who does that? You know, at that point, I felt like I should have just shut the second door and got out of there unscathed. Because heaven knows she couldn't have caught up with me. I know that's a bad joke, and I'm not making fun. But this woman was and the person I was with thought that was very odd, too. Why would you praise somebody then to jab them at the end? So this woman at the Allen County Museum, this could be why people don't open doors for you, because you say things like that. "I appreciate your praise, but the fact that you had to take a jab was not very nice." I'm out of time today. Mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp next. Voice of a People with Linda Sims at 4. Mike Wilson at 5. And all kinds of good programming hither and yon today on WWGH Radio. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
5-4-4-9-5. webpage, crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Wood at Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on